But that's not tonight, at least not yet. Okay. We have a lot of people here in this church that have been a part of CIP. We have a lot of teachers. Actually, would all the teachers, current and past teachers, please stand that have been a part of CIP. Thank you. There are some who aren't standing, and I assume they have their reasons, so I will not put them on Front Street, as they say. We also have a lot of participants that have gone through this program, and I won't put them on Front Street either. But God has moved in a mighty way. When Brother Grant came and asked me to do this ministry, I guess I'm starting to get into my sermon, my message. I really don't necessarily preach sermons, but kind of do messages. I thought when he said it was the last thing that I ever wanted to do was to go back into prison. Because the man you see standing before you wasn't always the man that you see standing before you. We all have a history. We all have a background. We all come from somewhere. We all have done things in our lives that we are proud of, that we aren't proud of. But there is a changing force in the universe if we give ourselves the opportunity to find out what it is. What I want to do tonight is I want to talk a little bit about that changing force. And I'm sorry, I have my scriptures. I meant to give them and I forgot them. But it won't be hard to follow. There aren't a lot of scriptures that I have tonight. But I have titled my message, Nothing. Nothing. And now I'm going to go in and kind of talk about this nothing. There once was a show a few years ago, back in the 80s or 70s, I think. It was called MacGyver. Right? MacGyver. For those of you who don't know, MacGyver was this guy who had the ability to, he could take a gum wrapper, a piece of string, and a rock, and he could make a laser out of it. I mean, you know, of course I exaggerate, but he could just take a little bit of anything and make something out of it. He always found himself in an adverse situation, and whatever it was, he found he was able to create a way of escape for himself. Think about the times that, you know, I must qualify this up front, and it seems it never fails whenever I have this opportunity, is that I have something that I've gone through and I've written, and I do believe that the Lord has given this to me. But by the time that I get here and get to give it to you, it's not what it was. It's not what it was. And I'm thankful for that. I'm really grateful for that because the Lord moves upon me and he takes it in another direction. But the hope of this is that this message will touch someone, that this message will reach someone right down where they live, and it will provide to them the thing that they need the most in their lives right now. Nothing. What is nothing? Can you see, touch, taste, smell, or hold nothing? I ask my wife from time to time, what are you thinking about? And she'll say, nothing. And I say to her that that's a physical impossibility. It's impossible for us not to think of something. Is there anyone here tonight that can think of nothing? I don't know if I agree with that, Mark. I don't know if that's true. But, you know, it has been said by one author that nothing is what rocks dream about. I'm missing something here. But with levity, I do want to move on. How many times have we tried to make something out of nothing as individuals? Look to your lives. You know, look to your very best understandings of the world and how you fit into it. And what your beliefs have been about reality. And how young people, your parents, will tell you something and you just kind of poo-poo what it is they have to say, because how do you know what it's like? You don't know what it's like to be a teenager. You don't know what it's like to be in the world the way that we're in it. You don't know, you don't know, you don't know. And that is a mantra that I think we all have said. I know I said it to my mother. I know my mother said it to her father, because she told me I couldn't wait till I was 18 years old to get out of my father's house because he wouldn't let me do what I wanted to do. And there was a logical reason for that. Would it not be? Somebody who has more wisdom, knowledge, and experience for you will always try to tell you that which is right. But there's something inherent in us that says, no, I got to do it my own way. And, you know, the thing is, I can't fault people for that, because I'm guilty of it. You know, I've defined myself as having a Thomas Didymus spirit, that doubting Thomas spirit, one of Jesus' disciples. I was the type of person that I had to see it, feel it, touch it, experience it for myself before I believed it. But I learned something. And as I said before, the man that you see here today is not the man that I was. I was a man who was caught up in nothing. And I'm relating nothing to something specifically. Nothing is what the world has to offer us. It is one of the greatest lies that Satan has ever told us. It's always one of those things where, as you look towards they say the grass is always greener on the other side. It's like we're never content with what it is we have. You know, we've always got to have more. And what God has shown me recently, in the past few years, I started a ministry, and I've been a type of person. And I'm not bragging on myself by any means. Please don't get me wrong in that. It's just, these are my experiences, and I cannot share anything else other than that with you, with any conviction. I can share my experiences. But I have met with people, and I have met with people who have had money. And once upon a time in my life, I'd always thought, all I need to do is have some money. If I had some money, my life would be ideal. My life would be perfect. But in dealing with people recently that I found that had money, it wasn't about the money. It was about the power and the prestige that the money brought. And the higher up you go in those zeros at the end of your income, the more that changes. Okay? So it's kind of like it's smoke and mirrors. It's something that will always, it's like we go around trying to chase something that we can never obtain. Nothing. We move towards relationships. We move towards a lot of things, you know, what the street has to offer and all of these things, and what TV and videos have to show us. And it all ends up in nothing, because as you listen to me, would any of you think that I'm an uneducated person? Those of you that know me, would you say that I'm a dummy? Yeah. You know. Don't forget 1 in 3. You know. You had to be here to catch that one. But because of my willfulness, because of my need and my desire to go out and experience the world the way that I wanted to, I tried alcohol. I experimented with alcohol and drugs. I went to prison 5 times. 5 times. And one would think that, you know, one negative experience would have been enough. But no. No, 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 no. I am determined to make this work the way that I want it to work, because it is the way that I perceive it, the way that I see it, and the way that it is going to be. Regardless of what I feel, there is a reality in the world. And that reality is this: if you don't hold yourself responsible and accountable, someone else will hold you accountable. All right? Nobody likes it when someone else holds you accountable. Who does? Your boss, your employer, the police, whoever it may be. Because it means something is about to happen to you that you don't want to happen. Am I right? Okay. Nothing. Sin is nothing. Satan has set us up. He has set a trap. He hasn't set us up, because we walk into it. It is by our choice. But he has set up a trap that would lead us into those things which we believe have value, which we believe has sustenance, which we believe would take us to wherever it is we want to go. And one of the worst things that ever happened to us is that we succeed sometimes. I like to use this analogy. How many times did you have to stick your hand in fire before you stopped doing it? Usually only once. For one simple reason: pain registers in the brain. How many things in life have we done the same thing repeatedly and can't figure out, why do I keep doing this? Why do I continue to make the same mistakes over and over again? Why do you think it is? What I have found for me was, I found that I didn't believe in anything. I believed in nothing. I believed in intangible, something that was not measurable, something that I could achieve. As that old saying, how do I get there? Well, you can't get there from here. And that's the reality of sin. You cannot get anywhere if you're living and following a life of sin. The only place that you will go ultimately is to hell. That's the only place it can lead to. Why? Because you're not listening to anything else. So Satan has laid a trap, the trap of nothing, for us. And this trap continues. I'm nowhere near my notes. Nowhere. Nowhere near them. I hope I'm making sense. The point: Satan has laid a trap for us, and the trap is of nothing, that will bring forth nothing worthwhile. Let's look on the other hand. Then there is God. God is God is scary. God is the unimagined. You know, it's like what Satan has done is laid a trap where we can wrap our minds around cars, money, bling, girlfriends, and boyfriends. We can wrap our minds around that, and we can see how that would work for us. But it ends up being nothing, right? Because we got a whole bunch of people that I deal with on a day-to-day basis, and they're talking about what my baby's dad and my mama's baby, and you know, all this kind of stuff. And everything that they had hoped for turned out to be nothing. All right? Now let's look at something else. I want to go back again to nothing. Have you had time to think about nothing? Have you thought about what nothing is? Didn't think about it, right? Can't do it. Can you imagine a omnipresent, omnipotent, and all-powerful God sitting in a universe where there is nothing? And one day he says, as in Genesis 1:1, let there be light. He took nothing and turned nothing into light. And as we go through the rest of those scriptures in Genesis, not only did he take it and turn it into light, he separated the firmament from the earth, from the waters, from the heavens. He created stars, he created moons, he created animals, he created man out of nothing. Okay? So now, think about this. We follow Satan, and he gives us nothing. But if we follow God, he can take nothing and make something. Am I making sense? Okay. There were a lot of names for God in the beginning of the Bible. And I would like to go to Exodus 3 and 1. Now, this is Moses. The question was on Moses' lips, you know, after he went up on the mountain and talked with God. And God's name was revealed to him at that time. And God said to Moses, when Moses asked the question, who do I tell Pharaoh sent me? And God said, I am that I am. He didn't need any other name, because I am is all encompassing. There is all power in I am. There is all deliverance in I am. Everything is included in I am. In psychology, I think it's like 101, they tell you that if you are able to say I am, then you know that you exist. So I say today, I am. I know that I exist. Now, you, on the other hand, may be a figment of my imagination. But I know that I am. Okay. But we know the truth of that. We all are here. We all are real. You are not a figment of my imagination. God used the term I am a number of times in the Bible. And he used it to great purpose. To go back again, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Because everybody wants to have an answer. Okay, who are you? You know, why do you have power? Where did it come from? We need something to believe in, okay? When asked of the name by which God should be identified to the Egyptians, Pharaoh, who had enslaved his people, God told Moses to simply call him I am, a reference to God's eternal, omnipotent sovereignty and his truth. Sovereignty and truth. What does the word truth mean? Anyone? There are no lies. There's no shadow of turning. What I say is consistent. It is written. It will not change ever. So now we've got I am the creator who can take nothing and turn it into something that's giving us something that we have an option to choose in our life. Most intriguing, with this name I am, God declares his eternal ever presence existence and revealed that he has existed and always will throughout all of history. It was a breathtaking declaration in something that the false gods of Egypt in Moses' day could never match. That was thousands of years ago, almost, I think, 45, 50, 5,000 years ago. And that is still true today. What else do you know that has stand the test of time other than God's word? Other than the truth of who God is. Everything else comes, it goes, it's a fad, it changes. And the only thing that is consistent and never changes is the truth of God's word. The Bible says that we should build our houses on the rock and not on shifting sand. There's logic in that. There's reason in that. Because things will continually change. There will always be something modern. There will always be some other fad that will come along that will try to move us or persuade us. God has laid out a roadmap for us to follow, if we will. And we always are looking for something. We're always looking for someone. We're looking for the way. Are we not? We got GPS, we got maps, we got atlases. We're all trying to find our way to something. The only thing that I have found of any real relevance that we need to find is the truth to eternal life. Because the rest of it is weak. The rest of it is insignificant. The rest of it will only lead us to hell. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, in John 14 and 6. Jesus was talking to Thomas, one of his disciples. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We all are looking for something. The world says, get money, get bling, get women, and you will have whatever it is you want. What did I say the end result of all of that is? Death and hell. Jesus says, if you follow me, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. What is the Father capable of doing? Making something out of nothing. And in case you haven't gotten where I'm going with this also, the reality of it is we're nothing. We're nothing. You know, we got the big head. We believe whatever it is we choose to believe. The only thing that gives our life true value is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, it's true. Otherwise, now we're just victims. Fodder for the cannons. Yes. Who was Jesus? In this passage, he makes it clear who he is and why we need him. It is through Jesus and Jesus alone, and we can be restored to a relationship with God only through him. This passage makes it clear that salvation is available only through Jesus and not through any other source or religion. So not by your beliefs and what it is you believe is right and what's going to get you into heaven. Because man's righteousness is as filthy rags, and Romans has already told us that. So we need to put that aside. We need to understand that we're not as important as we think we are. We really aren't. The only reason that we have any importance at all is because God loved us first. And he gave us the ability and the choice, of who will we choose. People say, well, if there's a loving and caring God, why does he subject us to what he doesn't? God didn't put me in prison 5 times. God didn't make me lose everything that I had and rebuild my life over 3 times out of those 5 that I came out of prison. That was on me. You know, responsibility is a key word in any relationship with God. You can't play with God. You can't fake God. You can't have God over here on the shelf and you live your life out in the streets any way that you want. It's not going to work. It's not going to work at all. And the thing is this, why lie to yourself? Have you not done that enough already? Have you gotten out of life what it is you really want? Doing it your way? Anybody? Anybody? Okay. So why play games with yourself? Why play games with your salvation? Why play games with the people that are watching you? Because the reality of this life is, it's not just about us. Somebody is always watching us. Someone is always watching what we do. Two beautiful little children right here. These two little children right here are learning what it means to be a man and a woman by watching their parents. What are you teaching them? You know, what comes out of your mouth means nothing because they're going to do what you do. In my field as an alcohol and drug counselor, I talk about the spoken and the unspoken. And people tend not to think about this. It becomes real easy just to say, well, I tell my kids what not to do. That doesn't fly. It never has, and it never will. You know why? Because nothing's in the world. Children pick up on sin just as easily. They pick up on wrong just as easily as they do on right. And the reality of it is they pick up on wrong long before they pick up on right. Can I prove my point? Those of you that have had kids or know someone that has kids, you got a 2-year-old in the house. Who in this house has taught any one of their kids to lie? Anybody? You and that child are the only one in the house. Something comes up broke, you go and ask that kid, did they do it? What do they tell you? It's already there. Satan is already working. Where did they pick that up? You didn't tell them that. You didn't teach them that. Somehow the unspoken showed them that. We have to lead by example. And if the example that we're leading is a roadmap that takes them straight to hell, something needs to change. We will sit back and say, I don't want my child to grow up and be like me, but yet we aren't willing to do anything else different to change it. We will offer up lip service, but what good is that? Intergenerational cycles, you see it in families all over the city. Grandpa, father, mother, alcoholics, drug addicts, criminals. You know, I talked about this once before. The last time that I got arrested, it was a life changer for me for a number of reasons. My kids were going to the church school. We had them in the Christian school. The Lord had blessed us. We had a home on the west side. I had an excellent job. I had all the things I thought I wanted, that I needed. I had them. He had blessed me with them. But I was unsettled. I wasn't willing to commit myself. I wanted to try to hold on to bits and pieces. I wanted to have one foot in the church and one foot in the world and expect, well, I got the best of both. Never works. It never works. The one thing that I ended up finding was that sin dominated my life because I wasn't willing to stand up for what was right, for what I knew was right, for what my pastor sitting over here, right here, both of them, were teaching and telling me. Well, Brother Thomas wasn't a pastor then, but nonetheless, he was still telling me and guiding me. Wouldn't listen. Why? Because I was listening to nothing. I was smarter than they were. All right? I know I might be stepping on somebody's toes right now, and I hope that I am. You know, because the reality of it is, you don't have to be 40 years old before you get it right. That's what happened to me. I suffered through 20 years of drugs, crime, the streets, and I didn't have to. Because all I had to do simply was listen. I was shown the way. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. What's hard about that? What's hard about having the things in life that you want? Because if you think what I said before, I had a home, I had my kids in a private school, I had a job, I didn't have any debt except for the home and a car. Actually, we were in pretty good shape. But nonetheless, I couldn't be happy and content with that. So that tells me that the assumption of the things of this world aren't always going to make us happy, even if we do have them, because we're making an assumption about something. I was unsettled in my life because I didn't have God. I grew up in a church. I didn't grow up in a church with the truth, but I grew up in a church knowing that there was a God, knowing what it was he could provide, and I turned my life away from that the first opportunity that I got, and I was able to do it on my own. My very best thinking created all of my problems. My very best thinking. Does this ring true for anyone else? Your very best thinking has gotten you to where you are today. And something that you must understand and is factual, the same mindset that gets you into the problem, as my pastor like to say, is diametrically opposed to the mindset that will get you out. Even the Bible says there needs to be a renewing of the mind. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. And you need to accept that. You're not that unique. You're not that special. Because that uniqueness can be terminal. It can kill you. I've gotten all the way away from my message now. Oh, man. Can I get back? Oh, my. My point. Thank you, Lord. My point. My kids found out the hard way that their parents, their father, was in prison, that he had gotten arrested for burglary. And you know how mean kids can be to kids, even Christian kids. Kids are kids, you know. So my kids had a really hard time. And for a long time, they did not like me. And for a long time, they would come and visit, and I would tell them, don't do what I did, because you don't want to end up here. You know, went through all of that. I was about to lose a wife in the process, but thankfully, by the grace of God, she decided to stay with me because she knew what a good man I was. Turned out to be true, though, didn't it? But nonetheless, the hurt, the pain, the rejection, the things that made a difference for me was not so much the fact of my wife coming to see me and the things that she talked about with me and what she did for me while I was in there. You know, the one thing that made the biggest difference for me was my pastor. He told me to call him once a week and talk to him. And I did that. I became willing at that point in my life that my very best thinking, I realized my very best thinking had made me the mess that I was. It was about time that I started learning to listen to someone else. Why did God leave the Bible? Why did he leave the roadmap? You know, people say, well, I want to change, but I don't know how. Here is a message that's been given to us that has withstood the test of time that will tell us how to survive and how to live appropriately in this life. I have been so richly, I can't even tell you how greatly I've been blessed. I have gone from having children who didn't want to have anything at all to do with me to now I have a James Alvin Hawk III. A son who looks at my life and he loves me so much and sees the change that has occurred in my life that he carried on the legacy through him. Praise God. It has been said the measure of a man is by the legacy that he leaves behind. What kind of legacy are you leaving? What kind of mark are you making for those that are watching you? And it's not just those on this earth that are watching you. There's someone above. It's got a scorecard. And he keeps tab of every lie, every indiscretion, every time that you lie, cheat, or steal. And the thing is this. We may become very proficient at explaining away and justifying our behaviors. But when we stand in front of God and that book is open, there's nothing to say. No excuse is going to be good enough. I wish I shoulda, coulda. Not going to get it. What had happened was. Not going to get it. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, Noah. In life, we have this tendency and this need to continually to move. We haven't learned to be quiet. In Psalms 46 and 10, the Bible tells us, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth. If we can acknowledge the fact that Jesus is Lord and that he is exalted, and we give him honor and praise and we follow him, what does that mean for us? What is the reward for us for being obedient to God's word? What do you think it might be? Brother Jeff, is it a business? Is it your life being saved when you're along the side of a highway because the Lord knows you? He knows you by name. We can go through this whole church and talk about people that have been blessed because they have been faithful to the Lord and the Lord knows them. When God did not know me in the sense of a relationship that I have with him, I went to prison. I went to prison 5 times. The last time I went, I had this cycle of going to prison every 7 years. I would get out. I would rebuild my life. Alcohol and drugs would tear it down. Every 7 years, I would go back. I got out of prison the last time in 1990. Can you do the math? It's 2011. I haven't been back. People in prison asked me to come back and talk to them to help them change their lives. Is that because of me? That's because of the God I serve. That's what he can do with a life. And tell me, what's the downside to worshiping God? Because all he does is gives you your heart's desire. Where is the downside? I got a wife that I've been with for 30 years. I love her dearly. Is there anything else another woman can do for me? Only one thing. Tell me which way she went. That's it. I I don't have a need for the things of this world. I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't lie, I don't cheat. Well, maybe every now and then I might lie, but I repent. I'm still in the flesh. I'd lie. I'd be sitting in line if I said I didn't. Every now and then, it's not intentional, but it comes out, but I repent for it. Why do I repent for my lies? I'll tell you why. Because in John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet will he live. And I have a choice today. Do I simply want to die and also reign, being like everybody else that's a loser? Or do I choose to be a winner? I made my choice a long time ago, and I stand by it. I came into it. I walked away from it. God corrected me. He slapped me upside my head, and I'm glad that he did, because he got my attention. And he hasn't had to do it again, because once God really gets a hold of your life, once he really touches you, he doesn't need to have to come back and do that again. There's nothing that Satan can come and say to me. There's nothing that Satan can move on my life about. I understand the power that I have within me. I in and of myself have no power, but the Holy Ghost that resides within me gives me the power to overcome. And I will continue to be an overcomer. Oh my, I think I'm about done. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus gave us something to do for those that will watch. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Do you know what that name is? Jesus. That is his name. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. I am. The I am is with you even until the end of the world. What in this world is ever going to come and confront me that I am not going to be able to deal with or contend with? I have I am with me. I am the creator of the universe. Given the choice of nothing of this world, of sin, and the lies that Satan will tell, that can only offer exactly that, nothing, or would you give your life to the one who takes nothing and makes something? Choose you this day who you will serve. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. We are going to go into our graduation. I hope that message touched the graduates and that you get something out of it. For those of you who don't know, we do have a cake reception, as we always do, after the service for the graduates. So please join them in the fellowship hall after the service is over. We had 7 graduates tonight. 4 of them cannot be with us, so we're going to acknowledge the ones that are here. When the graduates, would you come up? Would you please come up and stand over here on the left? Pastor will, he is here. He will greet you and acknowledge you. And then we'll have some pictures taken of you. Church, Mary Haig. Oh, I'll hold off on him. Now, we have another graduate, and this is one of our own. He has made the choice of going through CIP because he wanted to become a teacher. And in order to become a teacher in this program, you have to go through and do what any of the other students would go through and do. He has gone through 20-plus weeks, and not only that, he is going to become one of our head teachers for the man, Mr. Noah Strand. We also had four Hispanic students that went through the program and completed, and Tony Munoz taught that class. So I would like for Tony to come up and introduce our Hispanic graduate.
Praise the Lord, church. We had four Hispanics. I'm going to try to do this bilingually. Tuvimos cuatro hispanos en la clase. Four Hispanics in the class. Three were not showing today. Tres de ellos no están aquí con nosotros. There's one Hispanic here with us today, and I'm proud of him. Tengo gusto de José Díaz por acabando la clase de CIP.
Well, church, these are your graduates that are here tonight. We want to give them an opportunity to address the church and say exactly what's on their heart. As you do speak, please hold the mic up in front of your mouth so that
everyone can hear you.
Okay, I just want to thank everyone in the congregation, Pastor Grant, and his sermons, Brother and Sister Hawk, and all of the people. I'm sorry I do not know your names. I do want to say that attending CIP, along with another support group that I go through, has kept me sober. You know, it's hard travel through life, but I'm pretty proud of myself. And
hallelujah.
I'd also like to say from the first day that I've been coming to the church, every here has been very friendly, welcomed me right away. I've felt very comfortable, and I just want to thank to each and every one of you for being so nice and making me feel so wanted and comfortable and loved. And I thank you that so much, and I will never forget the kindness that was given to me here at the church. So I want to thank every one of you for taking me under your wing, and God bless you all. Thank you.
Praise God. This is such an honor and a privilege to be a part of this program. Thank you, Brother Hawk and Pastor Grant, for your burden for this program. This is super awesome. Without you and putting your back behind it and your faithfulness, it wouldn't be the program that it is today and change so many lives. I believe that this program really is like, you know, when Jesus met that woman at the well. Like, you know, you can take us in from where we are, you know, in maybe an unfortunate situation and give us victory, you know, and revelation. And it can be hard to try and stay sober and clean on your own. And then one glorious day, God fills you with the Holy Ghost in a prison cell. Hallelujah. Woo! And then you can do anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. This program is awesome. I love everybody. You guys are awesome. Such an awesome church. We serve an awesome God. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
God bless every one of you. If I think I'll be needing Miss Brother Tony to help me like an interpreter, because I just try to speak English. I would like to explain everything, okay? So, estoy es un privilegio para mí estar en una congregación linda como ustedes.
It's a privilege to be here in a blessed church with all you guys.
Una congregación linda, I mean, cada uno de ustedes. Muy, y yo he venido pocas veces, he venido aquí pocas veces y a la a voces y estoy congregándome en Voces Unidas.
I've been here very few times, but I've been congregated with Voces Unidas.
Pero había venido desanimado, pero cuando he salido por las puertas del building afuera, he salido bien bendecido espiritualmente.
There's times that I come here without courage, but I've walked out the doors blessed.
Yeah. Amen. And then, y como está escrito, es mejor un día en los atrios de Jesús que mil fuera de ellos.
Like it's written in the ¿cuánta José?
Es mejor un día en la iglesia.
It's more better in a church
than a thousand out que mil fuera de la iglesia.
A thousand miles away from the church.
Like Dios bendiga a los líderes de esta congregación de manera muy especial y que los continúe bendiciendo.
God bless all the leaders, the teachers in this church, and to keep blessing you guys.
Pastores,
pastors,
instructores, maestros,
instructors, teachers.
Porque yo siento en mi corazón que nos están guiando en buena dirección.
Because I feel in my heart y'all are guiding us a right direction.
Creo que hay sabiduría aquí en los líderes.
I think there's wisdom in the leaders.
Y Dios bendiga a verdad al hermano que Dios le puso en el corazón poner el de este programa que es de bendición para nosotros.
I'm glad
CIP.
And I'm glad that God put this program in our hearts.
Les puso en el corazón y lo pusieron y lo llevaron a cabo. Right, que del lo puso en el corazón
adelante.
Y ellos lo ejercieron.
Okay, yeah. He put this program in our hearts and we took it forward.
Yeah, y es de bendición para nosotros y
a blessing.
Ahora que lo he terminado, espero ponerlo en práctica, no solo aprender, no solo haberlo escuchado, recibido.
Got it in my heart, now I'm going to put it to practice and keep going forward.
Y es todo lo que tengo y que Dios les bendiga de manera muy especial a cada uno y a Brother Tony también que Dios les bendiga de manera muy especial.
That's all I have to say. God bless each and every one of you, especially Brother Tony, and bless each and every one of you.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. That's it. Put your hands together for these graduates. God bless them. We congratulate them. Praise God. We'd like for our praise team to come back. We want to pray for them. It is so, so good to see this happen. You know, I feel like that I was raised in a home which was a CIP program. I've never in my life, in my 70 years and 8 months of living, I have never taken a drink of an alcohol beverage. I thank the Lord for that. Praise God. Praise God. You think of all the money I've saved. I smoked my last cigarette 51 years ago. Went in to see the doctor and he said, "Have you ever smoked?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "How long ago?" I said, "51 years ago." He said, "Well, that doesn't count." Because it doesn't count when you give your heart to God, does it? My, my, my. You know, and I had such a burden to see this program started. You don't have to be an alcoholic to have a burden for people who are addicted in this sense. I guess I've just experienced such freedom through my life and just felt how great it would be if everybody could have this freedom. And I congratulate all three of you and the four that are not here tonight, but I want to pray for you. You just bow your heads with me in prayer. And I'd like for our ministers, Brother Roy, Brother Thomas, Brother Hawk, just come down and lay hands on them as I pray. Would you do that? Now, Heavenly Father, I pray, God, your continual leading and guiding of your Holy Spirit in the lives of these graduates. I'm asking God, keep your hand, Lord Jesus, upon them. Lead them. Guide them. Direct them. Oh, God of heaven, I pray, Heavenly Father, keep them from evil, O Lord. You taught us to pray, Lord. You said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I pray, God, that when temptation comes their way, that they may see the blessing, the benefit of living for you, making something of their lives. Thank you, God, for bringing them by Calvary Gospel Church. Thank you, Lord, for salvation that you've granted to them. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for deliverance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Everybody say amen. Give them a big hand. Would you do that?